Blog Talk Radio.
California horse racing fans, and thank you for tuning in, whether it be live or archived, to a special edition this evening, A Jockey's Life. And this, of course, is brought to you by horseracing-selections.com. If you haven't had the opportunity to visit our website, please take advantage and do that now, folks, because we're having a pretty decent Santa Anita meeting at the moment. And I also want to remind everybody real quick that our show at the quarter pole will air tomorrow morning from 6:30 a.m. until 7 a.m. Pacific. And we're going to cover all the normal stuff. And so we hope that you're able to join us for that as well. And then on Sunday evenings, of course, we have our At the Wire, which is the wrap-up show from Santa Anita. And that is from 8 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Okay, our special guest, former jockey and comebacking jockey, Felipe Valdez, is in the studio with us this evening. And Felipe, how are you on this beautiful Wednesday evening?
Hi, Eddie. How are you? I'm very good. Thank you very much for inviting me to the show.
Well, Felipe, it's a pleasure to have you, because you don't know this, but when you were riding, before you and I knew each other, I was cashing many a wager on you, and always marveled at the way you and the rest of the circuit, the jockeys out there, they go about their business. And we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about, what it's like to be a rider, because I think the jockeys, folks, are the unsung heroes of professional sports. They don't get a lot of credibility sometimes, or credit for what they do. And we're going to talk about that with Felipe and see what's going on, what it's like. Felipe, the big thing, the big comparison that I like to make to everybody that will listen to me is that jockeys are not like baseball players, basketball players, and football players. You guys don't have an injured list where you can say, hey, I'm hurt, and continue to make money while you're on the sidelines. Is that pretty much correct?
That's correct, Eddie. When you are riding horses, sometimes you have to ride for pins, you know. Yep. If you don't go to work in the mornings, most of the times you're not able to ride the horse. Even when you work the horses in the morning, you don't know if you're going to be able to ride the horse in the afternoon. And if you're not riding in the afternoon, you're not making any money.
Right. Right. And, I mean, I'll tell you, I've been in this game 45 plus years. I started going to Santa Anita when I was in junior high and would hang out at the infield. And over the years, as I've gotten more involved in the industry, you don't realize what jockeys have to go through. Even in the morning, just galloping a horse and standing in the starting gate. And horses are not machines.
No, plus, you know, I mean, besides that, you know, you have to be on a diet and you have to watch what you eat. And I mean, riding a horse is, like you say, you know, they're not all machines. I mean, especially in a circuit like California and New York and Florida, it's very competitive places, you know.
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard to make a living in these kind of places. But, you know, when you love what you do, sometimes you had to work harder than some other riders. And, I mean, and sometimes you got a good shot to ride some good horses or decent horses or even an allowance horses. But, I mean, when you like to ride horses like I do, I mean, if they will let me go back tomorrow, I will do it again, you know. I mean,
right.
Knowing all the injuries I've gone through, but yes, it is what it is.
Now, this is a question that I've been wanting to ask you for a while, and I keep, when I talk to you and when I chat with you, are you any way related to Steve Valdez?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right.
It is very funny, you know. I just sent him a request, like, on Facebook, like, 6 months
okay.
ago.
Uh-huh.
And every time I talk to him, I introduce myself to him. Everybody in the racetrack thinks that I'm related to him. But I'm not, you know.
I
said to him hi back and forth, but I call him Uncle Valdez, but we're not related.
Okay. All right. Because, you know, I've wondered that. Well, ever since I started talking to you and have gotten to know you, I've always wondered that. You know, I wonder if they're related. But when we chat, and I never, you know, have asked you that. But Steve Valdez is another gentleman, which, you know, the show's not about him tonight, so we're not going to talk too much. But he's another guy that when he was an apprentice, I made a ton of money on him. Just another really good, outstanding rider. All right, Felipe, how long have you been riding, and where did you start?
Actually, you know, I started riding horses here in California. Well, I was riding my quarter horses in Mexico City, but I started
okay.
riding here in Hollywood Park in 1997.
Okay, 97. So that goes back a little ways. And I, if I'm not mistaken, you even rode some races at Sunland Park, didn't you?
No, actually, you know, I ride horses in Albuquerque, Sea Park, but I never ride one horse in Sunland Park.
Never. Okay. All right. Now, what's it like when you were riding full time? I mean, what's your routine like? You know, you guys are incredibly fit, and you have to be, because obviously you can't weigh 250 pounds like I do, and you've got to have a small frame, but you've also got to be able to control an 1,200-pound animal. So what's that like?
Well, my routine was, you know, every morning I had to get up like around 4:30 in the morning
mm-hmm.
and get to the racetrack. Sometimes I have horses to breeze, to work early in the morning, at 5 in the morning, 1:10 in the morning. But
okay.
most of the times I was getting there, you know, early, very early in the morning, 20 to 5. And either I have horses to work, or I had to walk around the barns looking for horses to work that day or for the next day also too, and stick around in the racetrack. After 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, go to the Jackson, have some breakfast, a little nap, and get ready for the races. If it's a race day, if it's not a race day, just come back home after work.
Right, right. Your diet, I'm sure has to be very strict, and you have to really, really watch, you know, what you eat and all of that, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, to be honest, I look after myself right now more than when I was riding. But yeah, most of the times, you know, you barely, especially when you are a tall rider like I am. you had to wash away very. It's very hard, you know, to keep the weight down. So, but I mean, the way I used to be doing and try to keep my weight down, it was try to work the most horses I can in the morning, and wear always a big sweater and try to sweat it up 1 or 2 pounds. And by the time I got to Jackson, I only probably had to just pull one off in the sauna. So it was working the last time when I come back, when I made my last comeback, it was working well for me. But, yeah, right. It's very hard, you know, to keep a good diet on.
One of the trainers that I know you've had a lot of success with, who is a man, I think, is ageless. He does not age. I see him 10 years ago. I see him the other day. He hasn't aged a bit, and that's Hector Palma.
I know exactly that you're going to say that. Yeah, it's Hector is like part of my family, you know. My brother works for him for almost 25 years. He's the assistant trainer for Hector. He's Hector's right hand. And Hector has been helping me out since I come back from Canada, from day first. Actually, you know, when I come back from Canada in 2009, I was only galloping horses for him and everybody else. And he was the first one he put me on in a horse, and my very first horse when I come back from Canada. I was weighing like 126 pounds, I remember. And it was this horse, the name Hot and Lazy. He was working good in the mornings with everybody else, except myself. And one day he told me, "I'm going to put you on in the horse." And I said, "You know what, I can't make weight." And he came back and said, "I name you on in the horse, and she's going to go with 126 pounds, so make sure you just do 126 pounds. Long story short, that was in Hollywood Park. I got beat by a nurse, and she was 45 to 1. And that's how I get back riding, because he kind of pushed me back to start riding again. And obviously support me, you know. I mean, after that race, I rode that filly again, and I won by 10 lengths. And he started telling everybody else, you know, look at him, you know, give it to him a chance. He's been helping me out every time I make a comeback, and he's a good friend of mine also too, besides doing business with him.
Right. No, he's a I bump into him a lot in the mornings, not as much in the afternoons, but I run into him a lot, and I Felipe, I swear to God, that man has not aged a day.
He's 80 something years old, Eddie.
He's what?
80 something. I believe he's 81 or 82 years old.
Oh, good
and,
Lord.
I mean, if you look at him, looks like same way he used to look 20 years ago.
Exactly. I know exactly what you're saying.
It's an amazing person, you know. It's an amazing person.
Yeah.
He will help anybody that he needs help.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of good people on the backside, that's for sure. And then, as you well know, there's a lot of bad people on the backside too, you know. But it works both ways. All right, we're going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Felipe and find out what he's doing now and what his plans are for the immediate future. So don't go far away. We'll be right back with the second half of A Jockey's Life. right, we're back with the second part of A Jockey's Life. I'm Eddie the Hat, and in studio with us we have Felipe Valdez, an ex-jockey who is hoping to not be an ex-jockey in the near future. So, Felipe, what's going on with you right now, and what are you trying to do as far as your comeback goes?
Well, it's very sad to tell you this, you know. I mean, I've been, from the last two accidents I have, I've been going through a lot of surgeries, and I live with him 24/7. Actually, you know, I'm just waiting for the insurance to approve my surgery. I need surgery again in my lower back, and I've been having a hard time with the insurance company. They don't want to approve my surgery. So yeah, that's where we are right now.
Okay, how long have you been on the sidelines for?
Well, from the last two, since my last accident, it's been almost 4 years. You know, and that was in April.
Yeah.
April 2016. Yes. So
okay.
Since then, I've been going through 3 or 4 surgeries on my collarbone, one
right.
in my elbow, one in my knee, and a bunch of injections for pain, one in my lower back, and a lot of more injections for pain in my elbow and part of my shoulder and also in my knee. It's been very hard, you know, to deal with this, you know. Most likely, I don't want to be able to make another comeback. It's hard to admit it, you know. I love to ride horses.
Right.
It's my passion, you know. It's my passion to ride horses. But, I mean, safety is first. And I think not only me, the doctors also think that, you know, I don't going to be able to come back to ride horses. And especially
okay.
when you live with pain 24/7, it's not easy. You know, the muscles I like to make another comeback, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. Right. So if you were able to have the surgery, would you consider maybe working horses in the morning and not riding in the afternoon? Or what would your plans be? Or do you think you're just going to watch him from the rail now?
Well, it's hard to tell you anything right now, you know, because it's not only my lower back the one is in pain, you know. I have problems with my knee. I have
right.
big problems with my elbow and my right shoulder. I don't have the same strength I used to have.
Uh-huh.
Actually, you know, my right hand is always numb and stuff like that, so I don't think I'm going to be able to even work with horses or around horses anymore, to be honest, you know.
Okay.
I don't even know what I will do.
Right.
I go day by day, but it's very frustrating, you know. You sit at home and just wait for the insurance company to finally decide it when they're going to
right.
approve my surgery. And I don't think it's fair because we ride the horses. We put part of the show, you know, when you ride horses.
Right.
The horse and you is part of the guys, so, you know, it's like a team. We put in the chore. And, I mean,
yeah.
they make you delay this long. And I don't think it's fair that I had to wait and live with pain because they don't want to approve my surgery, to be honest.
Right. No, I totally get it. And now, how did you... how did you get hurt? Was it I'm trying to remember. I don't think I remember your last injury. Was it in the morning or was it in the afternoon?
The last two racing accidents, it was in the afternoon. One, it was in Los Alamitos racetrack, Torbret, one of the
okay.
horses. He was broke his the cannon bone. That's what they call it, right below the knee. And
okay.
I got injured really bad. I didn't ride. I fractured my collarbone, and I have some problems with one of my lungs. And I spent like 4, 5, 6 days in the hospital. The the far as I remember. It's another thing, you know, I forgot a lot of things, you know, for with these accidents. I sometimes I don't remember a lot of things. But
right.
I remember, you know, I had sometimes I had to write down what I'm gonna do and things that I had to do because sometimes I forget things. But I write it down and I'm reading, you know, I got hurt in Los Alamitos and I didn't ride for 3 months and a half. When I come back after the injury in Los Alamitos, I come back in Saranita. The very first day I come back, Hector Palma put me on in two horses in the afternoon. I won one of those two races, the very first day.
I remember
day
that.
I back. Yeah.
Yep,
and,
I remember that one.
I was some very unlucky person because, you know, the second weekend I ride, I have another horse broke his shoulder. In the 3S12 for Robertino Deodoro, and I re-break my collarbone again. And I injured my knee and my elbow and my clavicle again. And I've been riding through pain, you know, to be honest. I've been taking pain medication. I had to do the anti-doping, the drug test. Pretty well 2 or 3 times a week because I take pain medication, and it has to be a certain level. The other way, you're not able to ride. So, it's been very hard, Eddie. It's been very hard to go through that. And
yeah.
I was doing that because I love to ride horses, you know. I love the adrenaline and stuff like that. But that's the last two accidents, pretty well, you know, they make me
right.
retire. You know, I retired officially in 2017 when I started things they didn't get it any better, you know, after surgery. I know the older you get, the longer it takes to recover. But, I mean,
right.
It's been 4 years. It's been 4 years. It's going to be 4 years in April, and I live with a lot of pain every day.
Right. Have you thought about maybe you know, once you get everything taken care of and you get the last, you know, surgery, hopefully, which, you know, you'll be able to get. Have you thought maybe about being a jock agent or going into training?
That's a possibility. Probably I would like to work with probably as a jockey agent, yes. As a trainer, I don't think because I got very bad memories, you know. What I'm going through right now made me
mm-hmm.
really sad that, you know, when I go to the racetrack, and I was in the racetrack a few weeks ago, I was asking for a few pieces of papers that I need
mm-hmm.
from the backside. And to be honest, you know, I got really flashback memories, and, I mean, when you're able to ride, and when you could, and people can use you, everybody's calling you, everybody use you.
Yep.
But it's not fair, you know, when you injure and when they can do anything with you, nobody will even send you a text message. And it's part of life, you know, I understand that, but I mean, I don't think I would like to train horses at all. You know, if I got better
right.
with this, and they take care of my lower back surgery, I think I would like to be a jockey again. Yeah, why not?
Okay. Well, no, I mean that sounds. I mean, you certainly, you know, there's a lot of really really sharp apprentice riders, and David Moussad comes to mind immediately. J.C. Diaz and, you know, these guys, Jorge Velez,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you well know, we're very gifted with a very strong and God-given ability as far as the riders go. But to me, with your background being a jockey, you would be a great agent because you could mentor a young, you know, a youngster. Tell him what he needs to do, tell him how to do it, and, you know, kind of take him under your wing.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I've been thinking and I've been talking to Hector about that. And he's always, you know, he's always game to help me out, you know. Him and, and BG Stable, they support me a lot when I was riding, man. And I'm pretty sure, you know, if I take care of my surgeries and the little problems I have right now with this insurance company approving my surgery, I'm sure they will help me out, you know, to start a new career as a jockey and or doing something else with horses.
Or, you know, you could be a, you know, a pin hooker. You could, you know, go to sales, buy horses. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of open doors, you know, that open. And you might not want to run through one, but sometimes it works out. You know, it's you know, like a blessing, you know, in disguise. But I, for one, certainly miss you riding in the afternoons because, like I said, I always had a lot of success with you. And, I mean, when you were riding one of Hector's horses, it was an automatic bet. No doubt about it.
I am very happy, you know, at least somebody was making money. well, Hector and me and BG, we always got a good luck together, you know. I mean, obviously sometimes things don't work out the way we want it to. And, I mean, as a rider, as a human being, I make mistakes also too in races. And they will get mad at me in some races and like everybody else, right? But, I mean, they always, you know, always support me. And especially Hector, you know, always told me, you know, you will don't ride this horse because this horse don't fit you. I'm going to put you on in this one. This horse fit you perfect. And, you know, he's been training for 40, 50 years, this person. And, you know, he's well respected in racetrack. And every time he will say something to me about one horse, I follow instructions. And unbelievable, you know. And in the morning I work the horse, it's a different horse. And in the afternoon when I ride the horse and I follow instructions from Hector, things work out very well every time. So... It's a blessing to be riding for those people, you know. And another person that I always gonna be thankful for is Richard Baltas. Richard Baltas support me and give me a good opportunities. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's one of the persons every time I go to the racetrack, and he sees me. He's always joking with me, and he always, when you gonna come back? I have a few for you, you know, right away. And I mean, we have a good luck together also too, you know. If you see the results from him. The winners also too.
Yeah, no, Richard's definitely a very capable trainer. And, you know, like I said, Felipe, and, you know, we are very gifted in California. We've got some great trainers. We've got some great jockeys. I mean, you know, my gosh, you know, Umberto Rispoli, you know, Joel Rosario, Drayden Van Dyke. I mean, you know, Drayden is, you look at Drayden, Felipe, and you think he's 10 years old. And I mean, this kid is so polished, you know, but, Flavien Prat. Absolutely. You know, I mean, you could go down and you could look at the top 20 riders and not have a problem with betting any of them, you know. And, you know, sometimes you're going to get bad trips. Sometimes you're going to make bad judgments and mistakes. But, you know, as I tell people, you try getting up on an 1,100-pound animal that's going 30, 35 miles an hour. They don't always do what you want them to do.
No, you know what, when you're riding a horse, sometimes you don't even think and you already make the decision. So, I mean, when you think it twice, then that's when you make the mistake, you know. I mean, when you're riding a horse in the race, you know, and every other rider knows, you know, sometimes we don't even think and we're already in the hole if you find a hole in there. Yes. But, hey, I forgot to mention a rider that is here and is not getting any credit, and it's one of the top riders that I met when I first came here to the United States of America, Jose Valdivia. He's not getting very many opportunities, but, I mean, let me tell you, that guy, especially in the grass, that guy is a very good rider.
Yes, he is. All right. Well, we are at the end of our show, our allotted time, Felipe, And I just want to thank you for joining us. Good luck with, you know, your future. And, of course, as usual, we'll be always, you know, talking to you and keeping in touch with you.
My pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for the interview and your time. You have a good evening.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. That was Felipe Valdez. And, folks, we're going to be back tomorrow morning, 6:30 to 7 a.m. Pacific with At the Quarter Pole. We'll be talking to you soon. Thanks for tuning in.